Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19 as we continue on the summer series of Elijah, one of the greatest men, individuals, prophets in Old Testament history. We're thinking today about the general theme, Elijah's flight, down but not out. As an introduction to what we're going to be thinking about, look in chapter 19, verse 4. It says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree." That's a juniper tree. "And he prayed that he might die, and said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers.'" The Promise Keeper weekend was an outstanding weekend of blessing and ministry to each of us in different ways. It was also fun as well as funny. One of the funny things that happened, you know, we met in the Georgia Dome football stadium. And in that kind of environment, you would expect approximately 70,000 men to do something that related to football, and they did. And that is, they started a wave. Now, I could tell that I was in a group of Presbyterians. We will never be accused of being highly visceral, but more cerebral. And so there, the 200 Presbyterians or more sat in one section. And so a wave started on one side of the field. And it came around, and different ones, you know, as it came their time, stood up and held their hands up in order to create the wave. And finally, the wave got to the Presbyterian section, and they smiled. And then the wave went back around, and then when it came to the Presbyterian section, that's their wave. Okay? By the fourth time, some were standing up and raising their hands to engage in the wave. It was a great weekend. It was exciting. It was like being on Mount Carmel. You remember two Sundays ago we talked about Elijah. Elijah on Mount Carmel, when he stood toe to toe with Ahab, when he challenged 450 worshipers of Baal, 400 worshipers of the Asherah, and Elijah came out on top. But he also had to come down. He had to come down from the mountain, just as those of us who went to Promise Keepers come back sometimes to the status quo. Come back into a world where we face decisions or irritating people or difficult circumstances in day-to-day living. And it can be whether you come back from a grand mountaintop experience like in Atlanta with Promise Keepers, or whether you drive home from church today. Maybe you've been blessed through the music and uplifted through Sunday school or through the worship service itself, whatever, and you feel higher than you did when you came in, hopefully. But driving home, you enter a whole new world, the real world, because you have to get out on Highway 280, some of you. And reality ushers in pretty fast. The point is that we sometimes move from mountaintop experiences, but then we have to go back into the real world. And that was Elijah's experience. But Elijah's experience was such that he, in facing the reality coming down from the mountain, he decided to opt out of the world and to flee. Indeed, the psalmist says in Psalm 55:6, "Oh, that I had wings of a dove, then would I fly away and take rest." Who hasn't felt that way? Read the Bible, the great heroes of the faith. There was Moses who prayed to die. There was Jeremiah who prayed to die. There was Jonah who prayed to die. There was Job who prayed to die. And here is Elijah who prays to die. These are our models. These are our examples of the faith. And yet, they each reached a point in their lives where life was tough. So Elijah came down from the mountain. And probably he met the greatest, toughest challenge that he had ever had, because when he came down, he came from the top to the bottom. He came from top to bottom, and then the bottom dropped out. You know why? Because after this marvelous, spectacular victory on Mount Carmel, wow, that would have wowed anybody, Elijah received a note, a message from a woman. And it put his knees buckled when he got the note. You want to read it? Let's look at chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. It says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword." Verse 2. "Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me.'" This is the message that Jezebel sent, the princess of Tyre. "And more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Jezebel was the intimidator, the terminator of Israel. And so she said, sent a note to Elijah and said, "I'm going to rip your face off." You know what Elijah did? This great man who is called the thunder of God, this man who has been on the mountain with God, you know what he did? Well, look at the next verse. "And when he saw that," that is the message, "he arose and ran for his life." "And went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there." Verse 4. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die." He had had enough. He got back into the real world and he decided that he wanted to leave the real world. And so he began to flee away from the world. And he sat under a tree. He sat under a tree, and then later on we're going to see that he went into a cave. God called him out of the cave, God showed him himself, that is God, and then he sent him back into the world. I want to reflect particularly on why the bottom dropped out. How could it happen? And I think the first reason, I'm going to give you five reasons as to what happened to Elijah. The first one is this: his expectations were disappointed. What do we mean by that? We mean that Elijah, when he was on the mountain, he was so focused in expecting God to do something at that time, send revival. Oh, it's going to sweep the land. Israel is going to be restored. Jezebel and Ahab will be gone. and we'll be on the throne and God's people will be blessed again. Elijah was ready and he was waiting, but that's what he expected and he was disappointed. Secondly, his circumstances got worse and not better. I mean, you would think if you come back from a mountain blessing experience that things are going to go pretty well. After that, surprise, things didn't get better, they got worse. It's like we used to play on at the Good Street Elementary School playground down in Montgomery when I was a boy. We would take a softball and play with it until the cover dropped off. And then we would play, it's got glue around it to hold the string in. The string fell off and finally it got down to the cotton and then a little center piece of cork. I didn't know all that was in a softball. But we played with it until it fell apart. Well, sometimes the bottom drops out. Even after grand and glorious blessings, the bottom drops out of your life, of your experience. And you're faced with a situation where you feel, I've got to leave. I'd just as soon be out of the way, out of the world, removed. And so Elijah fled and he went and he sat under a juniper tree. I said his expectations were disappointed. His circumstances got worse. Physically, he was exhausted. Emotionally, he was also divested, and then spiritually, he was spent. I mean, his faith was gone. It was gone. He felt sorry for it. Look down in verse 4, end of verse 4. It says, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." It is over for him. He feels bitter. He feels despair. He feels disappointment. Have you been there? Remember, it seemed only yesterday he was on the mountain. And now look at the thunder of God groveling in a cave under a tree. When you're physically exhausted, when you're tired, you're hungry, and you're thirsty, Vince Lombardi used to tell his team, the Green Bay Packers, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." Do you know that you could have the same effect taking LSD as you can from sleep loss? I visited around with a psychiatrist in one of the hospitals here in Birmingham, and as we see patients, one of the first two questions that are asked are, "Did you get any sleep and are you eating?" I mean, there's a reason for that. Elijah was physically spent. He was exhausted. His circumstances got worse. His expectations were disappointed. He was emotionally divested, and his faith was shaken. Reminds me of a title of a book a book for preachers, actually. Bill, you would be interested in this. It says, I didn't read the book, the title was enough. It was a book for preachers, and it said, the title of the book was, "Never Resign on Monday." I mean, if you really have a bad day, then don't quit the day after. Well, Elijah was ready. He was ready to quit. He was ready to leave. And so he fled away from God. That was the alternative. It was plan A, plan B. This is called the fight or flight syndrome. Plan A is fight. Plan B is flight. And so rather than fight, then Elijah took flight and he ran away. He ran away and sat under a juniper tree and he sounded bitter and despairing and hopeless. And so God came to him. God came to him and in his aloneness, and had a purpose for Elijah at this point. And I suggest that this purpose also works for you and me when we're faced with similar situations. The first purpose that God had was to show Elijah that in the face of apparent failure, listen to this, in the face of apparent failure, God is not embarrassed. It may look like the kingdom has suffered a blow. It may look like there are none left. The surprising thing, the really gratifying thing about Promise Keepers for me was sitting there with almost 70,000 men who wanted to serve Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. It didn't really matter. I mean, it was good. You know, music and the speakers. For me, it didn't matter. It was just being there. Elijah felt all alone, and so God had to show him that even in the face of apparent failure, though you're running away and though the kingdom hasn't come fully, then you don't despair because God is always calm and He's not embarrassed. In fact, he showed Elijah later on, he said, listen, I've got 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not alone. But there's another purpose that God had for Elijah, and that purpose was to bring Elijah back to God, and so God had to correct a fatal flaw in Elijah's thinking. That is, in what Elijah viewed as the way God worked. This is really important. I mean, it is really important. Because if you have a concept of the way God should work and He doesn't work that way, what's going to be the result? You despair, you get bitter, and you don't believe in God anymore. And so God did something. He put Elijah in a cave and then He brought him out of the cave and he came by in a great wind, or he caused a great wind to come by and God wasn't there. He caused an earthquake to take place. God wasn't there. He caused a great fire to come by and God wasn't there. And then he spoke in a small, still voice. Ah, that's what Elijah needed. Elijah was bent on seeing something spectacular that God could do. And God needed to show this man that He was still in charge. He was still on the throne. And Elijah needed to have a faith in God. You know the song, Searching for Love in All the Wrong Places. Searching for love and all, you know. Elijah was searching for God in all the wrong places. And so in this story of Elijah, we have five steps. Five steps to rebuild faith, and it may be a situation that you have faced recently. It may be something you're going through now inwardly. It may be something from the past where maybe you've walked with God, but you know you are not on the mountain, and you are in the valley, and you would like to be away from the world if you could. Well, I want to suggest five steps to build faith or to rebuild faith. And the first one is this, and that reflects Elijah's problem, and that is, first, evaluate your expectations. Don't over-expect. Don't set your goals on something that really is not of God. One of my heroes in the Old Testament is a man named Caleb. You remember who he was? Caleb. Remember Caleb and Joshua? Coming out of the Exodus and God sent 12, a committee of 12. You've heard that God so loved the world, He didn't send a committee. Caleb and 11 others went into the promised land. and ask, their task was, can we go in and take the promised land? And God said, and then they came back and gave the report. 10 of them said, no way. And then 2 of them said, we can do it, Joshua and Caleb. Because most of them voted no, they went into the wilderness for 40 years. Actually, 38, they'd already been traveling for 2 years. And then they came into the promised land, and then in Joshua 14, after they were dividing up the land, then Joshua came to Caleb. Caleb was 85 years old. He was the oldest man in the congregation. And all the people were scrambling for the best land and the best territory and where the water was, where there was no fear of any onslaught of enemies. You know what Caleb said? There was one place that scared the life out of the Israelites. And that was the mountain where the giants called the Anakim lived. 85-year-old Caleb said, give me the mountains. And then he said, it may be, and this is remarkable verse, it is really important, this is the point. He did not say, I am going to get a victory. What he did say was, it may be that God will give me a victory. You see the difference? Paul said in Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, put on the whole armor of God. The focus is not on just you and me getting a victory, but the focus is on engaging faithfully in the battle. That's what you're called to do, is to be faithful. Isn't that a great song? Promise Keeper choir sang, Covenant choir sang. Man to man, warrior to warrior. Engaged faithfully. The second step in rebuilding your faith is this, get some R&R. Rejuvenate R&R. The third step is rediscover the nature of God. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I'm going to go ahead and give you these. Rediscover the nature of God. The fourth one is to do what you can in service to God. And the fifth one is to find a helper. To find somebody to help you in the ministry. We could elaborate on each of those. The main one I want to come back to is this. And that is rediscover, refocus on the nature of God Himself. Because that is the most important discovery that Elijah made. And there were two important aspects of the nature of God that you and I must believe in order to carry us through the times when we're under the tree and in the cave, or when we've suffered some defeat, or we're faced with some trial. Two important aspects of the nature of God. Suppose the circus came to Birmingham, as it does. Instead of being down there at the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center, it was out on one mountain somewhere. And as we were visiting this particular circus, Lyle Caswell, who is our college worker that I'm sure you know about, suppose Lyle was walking along the edge of a cliff because he was visiting the circus, and then, pooh, Lyle fell off the cliff. But before he could get too far from the cliff, he grabbed a branch, and there he was, hanging between heaven and earth, a 200-foot drop before him. And then this character from the circus came up, and he was rather small, diminutive person, about the size of a midget. He only weighed 40 pounds. Lyle weighs 300. No, I mean, he weighs, 170, 180. And so there's Lyle, and this diminutive person weighs 40 pounds, came down and put his hand on Lyle's wrist as Lyle is hanging there. And holding his wrist, then the person from the circus says, let go. Do you think Lyle is going to let go? I don't think so. Why? Because although this person meant well, he was good and he was going to pull me up, mercy, he wasn't powerful enough to do it. And so in order for us to have confidence in God, no matter what happens in our lives, it is 100% necessary that you believe two things. And the first one is that God is good. That's what the Bible says time and time again. But you know what? I talk to tons of Christians who have the suspicion that God is not so good. And then a villain comes up. A villainous character with a black cape and he has a black greasy mustache. And he leans over Lyle as Lyle is hanging there. And he reaches down and he grabs Lyle's wrist. And he says to Lyle, "Let go." You think he's going to let go? I don't think so. Why? Because even though he may be strong enough, he is not good enough. Elijah had to be reaffirmed in this perspective and rediscover God, and that is that God is good and that God is powerful. And friend, if you can trust that, you'll come through. Sometimes our lives are faced with situations where we feel we were on the mountain and now we're in the valley. The temptation is to flee. But I want to encourage you to use these five steps because they work, men and women. The most important step, in case nothing is working for you, is that the goodness of God means this. If you have any doubt, think about the cross of Jesus Christ. If you doubt the goodness of God, think about God dying for your sin. Let's pray.